Must have been a short song that Rufus sang. Okay. Want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. A wonderful name this morning that I was just thinking about that. I wrote it down and my mind kind of goes many directions. When we say we greet you in Jesus' name, or when someone says that, what is that name? That name is above all names. It's the only name that Scripture says that man can be saved by. There's nothing else. No other name. That name by which we have bowed our hearts. That name that Stefan was talking about this morning. You know, it's that name that brings conviction and doesn't leave us rest until our hearts are clear. That beautiful name of Jesus Christ. I think it'd be a blessing to pray. I don't know. Malin, would you want to pray? You can just pray right there. Let's just pray. Amen. And also that name that someday, I missed the last portion of that, but someday that name of Christ, where all will unanimously bow their knees to. All of us in here one day will. If he returns before, whenever it is, it doesn't matter when it is, if we will have went on before, or we're still here, we will all bow our knees. So thank the Lord for that. This morning, am I ringing here? I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong, let me know here, Dan. This morning, I have it is a simple message. Steve asked me to share a message, and I wasn't sure, but I think it was about Monday. This week I was reading in the book of Matthew, and I came across three verses. And they spoke to my heart. And I thought it might be a blessing for all of us here this morning. If you want, turn your Bibles. Maybe you still have them open at Matthew chapter 6, where John was at there, just a few verses down. I'd like to read to you three verses. And these things, as I said, it's not for you or you, it's all of us. These words were penned by someone who heard them spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the words in many of your Bibles are written in red. They're there for us. And these words, when the apostles heard them, and a few verses, I'll talk about it later, but they were astonished. They said, how can these things be? How can this be? And he said, with man it's impossible, with God it's possible. All things are possible. And today, my point is this, that today, these words, though they were spoken 2,000 years ago or whatever, they are still as prominent, and they still mean the same today as they did back then. I'm convinced of it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 and 21. I'd like to read those for you. If you have your Bible, you can, and just, it's three verses. Very simple. Okay, it says this. Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." In verse 21, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In these verses, in these words, Jesus said, we have a commandment that exhorts us to not lay up or to store up wealth, riches, or treasure. It simply means, and I'll read you a couple of different translations here. Actually, the definition of a treasure is this. Treasure or treasures is wealth accumulated, a stock or store of money, a great quantity collected for future use, something very valued, or great abundance. That's what treasures are, according to the 1828 dictionary. Treasures. Treasures. We all have some. I'm with all of us. Here's a translation in those verses a little bit. One translation that says, "Stop storing up your riches on earth." Another one says, "Don't pile up treasures on earth." Let us take heed to these words, written in red, spoken from Jesus. I have a little picture here I'd like to for you to see. That's why this is down, if you wondered, maybe. At least if it wasn't erased. Thankful for somebody to be able to draw that for me. I don't know what picture comes in your mind when you read those verses. I always like to try to have a picture. There's something, a picture of something of some sort in the scriptures. And in my mind, I had this picture, and I would like to look at this a little bit. Just a treasure chest, you know, there's a treasures in heaven. There's treasures on earth. And for the title, I'd like to call it My Heart, My Treasure, / Your Heart, Your Treasure. That would be the title. My Heart, My Treasure, Your Heart, Your Treasure.
And I want you to think about this a little bit as we go through here. And I'd like to ask for your input and help here a little bit. How can we store treasures on the earth? I'd like to just write them down here a little bit. And then also, how can we store them in heaven? How can we lay up treasures in heaven? And I'd like to have some input from you all. Just be thinking about that as we go through here a little bit and see what the Lord has. Okay, so don't pile these things up, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Jesus said that. Another translation is, but keep on storing up your riches in heaven. Keep your treasures in heaven. There is no great wonder why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says it this way, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke, I think it says, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And simply, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the low in class, the downtrodden, the meek, those that don't have much in terms of wealth. I know there's, I'll make a disclaimer right away this morning, there's much debate can be had on what's wealthy, and we're all very wealthy for sure. We all are, but God Almighty knows my heart. He knows it very well. He knows precisely where I'm at with that, and knows all of our hearts for that matter. Jesus also said in Luke, okay, so in Luke 6:20, as he lifted up his eyes, and I think he says it this way, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount there, he says, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And oftentimes in today's society, maybe, you know, somebody that doesn't have a lot, the tendency is to kind of think, maybe they're just poor managers, maybe they can't make it very good, and this and that, you know. But Jesus said, he said it to the 12 disciples. And I don't know if it was just to the 12 disciples there, but it says in Luke 6, or no, in Matthew 5 there, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying these words. So I don't know if it was to the multitude or specifically right to the disciples alone. My point is this. He said it to some of the most influential men that ever walked the earth, the 12 disciples. And it was important to them. And if it was important to them, it's important to all of us. And I believe in my heart. I was reading a little bit on the some of the early church writings a little bit, and you know, I think they have a very balanced understanding, and money is not wrong. You know, it needs there's money needed to function and for missions and all those things. But let's just remember, I think this is true, that it can be like a chain. It can be something that pulls us down. As far as excess. In our hearts, where is that? Lord, help us to know. I don't know where for you or what you know, but God knows in our hearts where this is all at. May he help us to see. And Jesus, the point is here, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And the reason that the poor are blessed is because they don't have much. They don't have much. They're willing to give up their hearts to him. There's not much there. I already said this. In other words, to be poor, to voluntarily choose to stop accumulating in excess, to stop increasing our piles. And just take these things from my own heart. It's something that It's because we don't necessarily talk about it much, but it's a real thing. It's just a real thing. And we'll see a little later why that I think it's a real thing. And I can just share it with you right now. The reason that it's real is this reason. Because the Bible says this. It says, where your treasure is, there is our heart. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this is what I think about. If we continuously have great treasures on the earth and just keep expanding our treasures upon the earth, the reason that it's dangerous is because someday our heart will be there and Christ comes back. Let's not set our affections on those things. And I just wrote again, I want to emphasize this point. Jesus said, blessed be ye poor, in Luke 6:20, for yours is the kingdom of God. I think the less that we have, just hear my heart, again, there's much debate, but the less we have accumulated to our name, the Lord will bless that. He said, blessed are ye. Look at the disciples. Who was they? They were fishermen. It says they were the unlearned and uneducated. I forget the exact description. They were just simple men of the day that didn't have a lot. But God used them to turn the world upside down, as it says. Jesus said, my blessing is upon you when we stop trusting in uncertain riches and trust in me, the living God. This whole concept or teaching of Jesus, this command, this principle in the Bible, is so completely contrary to our culture, society, and the pursuit of the American dream, whatever you want to call it. And it can be difficult to speak on because everybody has a threshold in their mind where this is too much, or, you know, our thresholds are all over the place. Yet the words of Jesus still ring in 2019 just as powerfully as when they were first spoken. He says, lay not up treasures for yourself upon the earth, but lay them up in heaven. They're safe up there. And someday, there'll be a reward for us there. And I just wrote, this message was spoken to the poor, the unlearned, the uneducated, the lowly group that we call the 12 disciples. In that day, they heard. Today is no different. Consider these scriptures with me here. Let's turn to, I'm going to read Matthew 19, 16 to 26, and you're welcome to turn there if you'd like. Matthew 19, 16 to 26. Okay, so 16 to 26, it says it this way. There's a young man, and I think it's in Luke. It says, and behold, one, this young man, he came running to Jesus, it says in Luke, and he knelt down before him, and he said, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And again, try to picture a picture here this morning as we read the scriptures. Picture this happening, because it did. This is not a parable. I think this actually, it did happen. Picture this happening. This young man run to Jesus, and he kneeled down before him, and he said, good master, what shall I do to have eternal life? And he said, Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, he said. He saith unto them, this young man said, which one? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus was telling this young man these commandments. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man was listening, and he looks up and he says, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. I mean, I've done all these things. What do I lack yet? He said. What am I missing? And then it says, Jesus, in another gospel, maybe the Gospel of Luke, it says, and he looking upon him, behold him, he loved him. And he said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. And I'm just thinking in my mind how this may have been. I don't know. When Jesus said, go and sell what you have, his mind possibly could have thought, okay, well, I can sell it and gather my, you know, what I get from that, and I can still go follow him. And Jesus said, go and sell that thou hast. And he said, give to the poor. In another place it says, take up thy cross and come and follow me, and thou shalt have a treasure in heaven. I'm rewording it, just all the scriptures together. And again, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. The word treasure is there. But when the young man heard these sayings, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I just picture this young man standing up and just probably with his head down, I don't know, but just walking away. So he counted the eternal life of lesser value than his possessions. And he went away. And then Jesus, it says in Luke, then Jesus turning, he looked upon his disciples. Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In the same, Mark 10:23, it's the same scriptures. It says, and Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? In Luke 18:24, okay, I already said all that. It's the same parable. There's two verses I just got out of Matthew 13. And this has, I've thought about this a number of times. When I was first converted, I don't know if it was even a year, a couple months maybe, I was biking right down this road down here. And just less than a quarter mile up the road here, a young man that I had worked with, he's a Christian, I think he still is today. But he told me, you know, I was encouraged and sharing with him, and he said these verses here, or at least part of these verses, about Jesus in the parable of the sower, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And I don't forget that. I think maybe I have somewhat. I'm thankful the Lord's reminding me. Let us be careful. In Luke 12:15 is another verse Jesus said, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Because we all possess something. But it's not in the abundance. I think that's where Jesus is speaking. It's the abundance. It's that excess that the temptation in my life is when there's excess or extra to just pile the piles higher. Hear my heart here. If you look at the passages in Mark and Luke, at the end of where Jesus said how hardly it shall enter into the kingdom there, the rich man. If you look at those passages, you will find an exclamation point behind it. I don't know why. For some reason, the interpreters of the scriptures, they put an exclamation point there. And even in several other scriptures, that are interpretations or versions of the Bible, they have an exclamation point there. Why is it? I'm not sure. But when an exclamation point is there, it means with emphasis that my heart, we need to take heed here. Take heed. And also note that where Jesus said to this young man, he said, come and follow me, and you shall have a treasure in heaven. And that's quoted in all three Gospels. Okay, so I would sincerely like some of your input here. To lay up treasures on the earth or in heaven, how is this done? What are some of the ways for this to happen? How does this look? To lay up treasures on the earth. And then I just wrote, I'd like to hear from you. What are some of those things that you think that could mean? I'd like some thoughts. I'm asking because I only wrote one little thought down. That's all I did. Anybody have anything? And I'd like to write them down underneath here. How does it look? What is it? Marlon? Okay. Okay, so save the heaven part for later there. You're going to give away some of the answers already. But so serving self, is that what you... Selfishness? Okay, so I'm going to write that over here. I'll try to write slowly so that it's readable here. Serving self. Somebody else have something? Anyone? Maybe if there's no hands, maybe we can ask. Brian? Discontentment. Something else? James? Dishonesty, James said about business transactions. And, it's just, for example, when our sales tax is due every 20th of the month, so if I collect tax from you on an invoice, you see tax charged, we just take it from you and give it right to the IRS. But sometimes I'll go and get a part for my own van, say something, and it's underneath, it's still underneath the same account, business NAPA account, but there's no tax charge on that because there's no invoice for it. You know what I mean? And I often think about that, like, in fact, I just thought about it now. I paid sales tax for last month, and I had bought a couple things for my van. I didn't include it on there. I thought about that, but I forgot. But so is it important, dishonesty? I think it is. Something else? Anyone else? Yes, Daniel. Our time? Any specific on that or just time? Bob Grimshaw, what are you thinking about?
Do you have anything that you could tell us about that? If you don't, that's okay, but. So we can go from there. Serving self, that's a thought that I had, is selfishness. To lay up treasures on the earth, just lay them up, and that's the whole concept of society and culture, and that's why we are called to be different. We're called to be different, even in that. You know, we often talk about being different in various other things, but even in those things, Jesus said we should be different. Because the kingdom that we are part of is not of this world, and we operate on a different set of principles. Because Jesus said, blessed are you, in my own words, when we don't have abundance and abundance and excess, because it will hinder us. Okay, we can move on here a bit. So to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust are not, where they, you know, where there's no corruption, and it seems like it doesn't matter what you have on this earth, it tends to rot away. Just, they rot away. Whether it's wood, even steel, it'll rust in a few short years. I go past sometimes the Ford and Chevy dealerships, and they get the brand new trucks in, and they look just pristine, you know. But I think, you know what, in 6 to 8 years, 10 years from now, that thing will probably have some rust on it. It's a good chance. And then we can work on them. So I always think, keep selling the new so we can fix the old. We'll let that. That's totally another thought. So treasures in heaven, how is this done? What are some ways for this to happen? I think we should just write them up here. It'd be a blessing. So does somebody have some thoughts on that? Anyone? Just appreciate your input, Martin. Yes. Sure. I'll write that down here. And Martin said, having a burden for the lost. Someone else have something else? Jerry, what do you think? Do you have any thoughts? To lay up treasures in heaven. Yes, John. Yeah. Amen. See if I can interpret that a little bit, but maybe eternal perspective. Eternal perspective. That's very true, because Everything that we see and handle today, it's not going to be here long. It's not going to be here forever. And oftentimes I find myself, it's like you're in the middle of working and whatever, work week, and I don't quite think that way at times. It's like we get into this mode of work, it becomes so focused, and we work hard, and those things, it's okay, but they're not eternal, they're temporal. They're most certainly temporal, and they certainly will pass away. And if to have an eternal focus is good. Somebody else? I don't want to miss anybody. Daniel and Malin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Serving others. Malin. Amen. So serving others. And Malin said, teaching our children. That's good. I appreciate that. Somebody else? Anybody? I don't want to miss anyone if you had your hand up or okay, so I thought about that. Is, I think, in many ways, to be selfless here and over here is selfish. And Malin, he mentioned about our children, and I actually thought about that too. Because I'll try to stay with my notes here. Helping the poor, self-denial, giving in a way or fashion, knowing that there is no way that you will ever be reimbursed, that it's no way possible for you ever to be repaid again. And this all done in secret. Nobody ever knows it. Laying up a treasure in heaven that only God himself knows. That's one treasure. Taking the time to serve the helpless, the sick, the dying, the handicapped ones, the special needs ones. There again, taking time to do those things. And when I think of the helpless, I think of our little children. They are the next thing. They are so helpless when they're born. And we selflessly pour into them. And as they grow older, they become more independent. And as they grow, and that's all, some of that's all normal. But spending time with those little ones, those precious children, and they are not a burden. They are not a burden. You know, the world, if you think about it, that's why I appreciated what Malin shared there. The world, they sacrifice what for what? Can somebody give me my thoughts right now? Nelson, go ahead. You're almost there. Oh, that's a good children for dogs. That's pretty graphic there. And I think that's probably true. I was thinking children for a big bank account. The dog's saying, yes, I understand. But a large bank account. Go find, you know, if you would go find 10 families in Harlem, what percent of them have both mother and father working on a payroll somewhere? And what percent of them have less than 3 children? We would probably be surprised. Because children are a burden. Children are a burden because we can't do the things that we really want to do. And so that's what I appreciated about children. They're the little ones that God gives to us.
And in many ways, God can use those things to help us store up treasures in heaven. The things that we do for them, and what especially mothers, and it's like you will never be repaid. You will never be repaid with money. I guess what I'm thinking about, I have a picture in my mind. No, you never be paid with money. For all that you do for your children. But the thing is when and if they come to the accountability of knowing their undoneness and having been born again by the Spirit of God, and they walk faithfully on this earth by the grace of God in heaven, and they make it to the eternal home. Then you'll be paid. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you just fine. God will supply precisely what we need. That's another whole thing with, you could just have much to say on taking care of the sick, taking care of handicapped children, special needs children. There's just God will reward us for that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Read from verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 27. Again, try to have a picture in your mind this morning. Have a picture in your mind. Some of these, and this may have been some of the first time that Jesus, that these words were ever uttered. You know, when Jesus said some of these things, for some of these people, they were completely new. Jesus said unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." That's what the rich young ruler was told as well. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." Again, those are words written in red that Jesus Himself said. And I don't know what for picture you get in your mind again. I picture a man that says, he comes up to Jesus and he wants to follow Him. And then Jesus said, "Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Me." And I don't know, I don't think Jesus actually meant an actual wooden cross. I know he didn't, but I just still picture that. Picking up this cross. Because this is why. The Christian life is not easy. Not easy. And for a multitude of reasons. Because we're of another kingdom. And our affections are not here. They're there. Because Jesus said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. In other words, this is how I understand that verse. Whosoever will save his life, in other words, do all, be all, just prepare for me and make my life be my life. Jesus said, you're going to lose it. And whosoever will lose his life, lose our identity, our self, and become as just a servant of Christ. He who does that will find it someday. And those marvelous and amazing words, for what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I actually did a little research. It's kind of interesting. And I don't know, again, I'm looking for balance here in testimony time or whatever you think here. But actually, Noah Loretta's told me about this. He said, look up once the 10... America's 10 most wealthy preachers or pastors. Take a look at it sometime. It's astounding. It's astounding. So there's money if you want to preach out there. But Jesus said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then I think, too, there's actually another warning I think Jesus gives, that oftentimes those types of situations, the preaching is what the people would like to hear, and they teach otherwise, and Jesus, I don't think the Word of God is good with that. We'll leave all that go. And I said before, I'm aware it's possible to have much debate over these things. My heart is just to remind myself and us, lay not up treasures. There's a command there. It's something it says to do or not do. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures up on the earth. And the next verse says, but lay them up in heaven. It means something. It's not just spiritual. I don't think it is. And let us just be honest with ourselves, and we ourselves, I cannot see into your heart and your mind. I cannot read Leroy's mind right now. It's pretty hard to see directly into our minds and see what we're thinking about here. But let's just be honest. And because God knows the heart, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It says, who can know it? And then it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins and give, and even to every man, I try the reins even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I can't read your mind, but the Lord most certainly can. He reads mine. He reads all of ours. It's as clear as it can be. Let us just be honest with God concerning our bank accounts, houses, lands, whatever the Lord is in our care today, for he knoweth, and he will deal accordingly. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19, it says this, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Number 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Laying up in store, laying up our treasures in heaven. Romans 12:13, it says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And so I wanted to make a balance. What I understand, for instance, Brother Barry and the amount of money that it actually takes to make it go, and it takes a lot. I'm convinced of it. And I think the point is not so much in how much we make. I would say that with caution, probably. But it's what we feel like we need to store up. It's like what do we need to do with it? You know, after there's a sufficient amount, then what? Then what? The tendency of the world is just, you know, I have people come to the shop sometimes and they say, oh, it looks like you're really busy, and, you know, when are you going to add on? You know, when are you going to... I just don't have no desire. I have no desire. I don't want it. I know of a young man up in northern Indiana, just added on tremendously to his shop, and just it's immaculate, just immaculate. It can be okay, you know, I guess, whatever. But where is that line in our hearts where godliness with contentment is great gain? Where's it at? In my heart, I think we can search that out. You can too. Above all, let's just be honest. Okay, so the next point in that verse 21, and it says the same exact words in Luke 12, verse 34. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My treasure is where my heart is. Your treasure is where your heart is. And that's why it's so important that we lay them up in heaven. That our hearts are not so just entwined and intertangled upon the earth, that when he calls us back, that all these things, let it go. Every bit of it, let it go. I know you maybe heard this saying, I just thought of it. Some man had passed away. He was lying in his casket, and he had been a pretty wealthy man in his day. And somebody made the estimation, or made the thought, I guess, that, so I wonder how much he left behind. How much you think he did, Dan? All of it. Every bit of it. I can tell you there's not one cent. There's not one cent went down there. And even if a man thought he wanted to take all his stuff with him, maybe bury it beside him in his, it's all still gone. It's all still just rotten earth when it's all done. Nothing. Maybe some shiny copper and a little bit of silver, but it's gone. It won't go long. So Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In my mind is a picture where my treasure is laid up or stored, that is most likely exactly where my heart is. And I thought, Lord, help me to be careful. Let's lay up our treasures in heaven, either on the earth, on earthly things, or in heaven, or in heavenly things. And again, there are necessary, we work, we need to provide, and I understand all that, but I hope you hear my point. And I wrote this too. It seems difficult for you and I to see into each other's minds and hearts, to see what's really on the throne. What really takes preeminence there? I can't see it. But then at the end of that, I wrote, or is it?
question is, where is your treasure and what is it? Where is my treasure? What is it? May we all just be honest with God. In Colossians 3, we sing this many times. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Isn't that what we want? I know it is. I know that's what we all want. Who said it today? Maybe Stefan or John, but we all want to make it. I don't think there's one person in here that says they don't want to make it. It's important. Let's set our affections where they belong. I just wrote, let us not separate our heart from our treasures. Because where one is, the other is. That's my point. When you look at me, you can't precisely see what I think. But I think, according to the scriptures that we're going to read here in a little bit, let's just read them. How about that? Matthew 15:16-20. You're welcome to turn. I think we might even still be there. Matthew 15:16-20. I'll just read these scriptures. It says, and Jesus said, are you still without understanding? He said, do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. In Proverbs 23:1-7, again, you're welcome to turn there. No, that's not right. Well, yeah, it is. Proverbs 23:1-7. Let's just read it. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite, but be not desirous of dainties. I think that could very well apply here today. Be not desirous of dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Seize from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Always grasping for that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. And here's the verse that I wanted. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I thought the verse said, for as a man thinketh, so is he. But it's as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Matthew 12, let's read that, verse 34-37. If you want to turn there, you can. Matthew 12:34-37. Jesus said, actually, we should probably back up to 33. I think it's part of it. Either make a tree good or make his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. When the apples come out on the apple tree, you know for sure it's an apple tree, without a doubt. Tomatoes appear on the tomato plants, without any question, we know it's a tomato plant. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We can't necessarily precisely read each other's minds, but according to the Bible, what's coming out of me and what you see in me is much of what's in my mind. I don't think you can separate the two. That's my point. I don't think you can, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-20, we'll read it again. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May the Lord bless you and pray for us. Feel free to correct anything that was spoken wrongly or not according to God's word. And I sincerely mean that. Whether you do it in testimony or whenever. I would like to... Dan, are you prepared to do that? Okay. We have a little song that we have been listening to. Some of you might have heard it. It's just... at the last verse, it says something like this. I'm just really thinking here of quoting it. When I'm at those... standing at those golden portals, just listen to the words. May we hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. So you can listen a little bit, and after that, God bless you all.
Sweet is the promise, I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. E'en though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond is shining an eternal day. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. Trusting the promise, I will not forget thee. Onward will I go with songs of joy and love. Though earth despise me, though my friends forsake me, I shall be remembered in my home above. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee. When at the golden portals I am standing, all my tribulations, all my sorrows past, how sweet to hear the blessed proclamation, enter faithful servant, welcome home at last. I will not forget thee or leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee or leave thee. I am thy Redeemer, I will care for thee.